Welcome to the Education Podcast, the Learning Conversations with Gillian Hamilton. I'm Gillian, and I'm Chief Executive here at Education Scotland. In our Learning Conversations podcasts, we're aiming to explore some areas of our work in more detail. And today, I'm delighted to be joined by Stephen Graham, Head of School at Eastgoyle, and Eastgoyle teacher, Charlotte MacLeod. Welcome to the podcast, Stephen and Charlotte.
Thank you so Hello. Much. Thanks for having us.
Great to be with you.
So to kick our conversation off, I'm really interested, Stephen, I'm going to start with you. I'm interested for those listening today who don't know much about Eastgoyle, just to hear a bit about the background, how it began and how it's developed over time, bringing us to the present day.
Well, thanks, Gillian. They say that necessity is the mother of invention, and that's certainly the case with Eastgoyle. Way back in 2015, Castleby School in Barra couldn't source a maths teacher for love, not money. They were willing to pay incentives to have people relocate to Barra, and with the best will in the world, at that point, nobody was willing to go. We had classes that needed to be taught as a local authority, and we did have a maths teacher, but that teacher was based up in Stornoway, four islands away. And so somebody at the time settled on the idea of video conferencing. They tried it. It worked. The young people achieved. They got their grades and passed their exams. And then they decided as a local authority, well, let's be a bit more strategic about this. Let's see if we can build in greater resilience and also broaden the curricular offer by having what was at that point considered to be a local solution to a local problem. Now, Eastgoyle started in 2016 in August, and with backing from Scottish Government, from the Northern Alliance, Regional Improvement Collaborative, and Bord na Gaeilge at that point, with a focus on live, interactive, online learning, looking to tackle the poverty of opportunity that many of our smaller schools face and learners in these schools, looking to, I suppose, bring about a greater degree of equity so that the curriculum offer is less of a postcode lottery, improving progression pathways, improving personalisation and choice, and ultimately trying to, through improving choice, I suppose, the expectation would be that that would bring about greater motivation, greater engagement, and ultimately more in the way of achievement and attainment. So that's, in a nutshell, the background to Eastgoyle.
And Stephen, can I just ask, you talked there about back in 2016. That feels forever ago when we think about what happened between 2016 and where we are now. The pandemic was a massive game changer for all of us, but particularly for Eastgoyle. Can you say a wee bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would always try and kind of define everything that we do at Eastgoyle around the two words, removing barriers. Now, initially, the barrier that we were most conscious of was being able to have access to specialist teachers. And we've done lots of other work in looking at other barriers and how we can overcome that. But COVID was the greatest barrier that we've all faced, and it was a great leveler. Everyone was affected. Everyone's learning was interrupted. And I think it put everybody on the back foot. And it necessitated that we collaborate and make connections across education to try to better meet the needs of the young people who were affected at that point. So the pandemic allowed for Eastgoyle to source additional funding and to innovate and to experiment, to pilot new approaches to learning and show what could be done. And the other added consequence COVID was that it upskilled the profession and upskilled our young people as well, because there was a need for them to get online and in order to engage with learning. And I think in many ways Eastgoyle capitalized on the crisis, and it allowed for us to really make huge progress. And we probably made 10 years worth of progress in 10 months in 2020. And it was just fortuitous that a lot of the ingredients were in place The eSchool Digital Depute team was just in its very infancy when COVID was beginning to come to its as it was coming to a head. So had it not been for that, eSchool would probably not have been able to rise to the challenge as it did back in 2020.
And Stephen, I'm going to come back to you shortly because I'm really interested to hear a bit more about how you lead a virtual team and not always being in the same place. But before I do that, I'd love to hear a wee bit from Charlotte, just in terms of your involvement, Charlotte. How did you get involved in eSchool? And what's that like, working with and for eSchool?
Yeah, so actually it was in 2020 that I first got involved. So it was September 2020. There'd been obviously the first kind of major lockdown where all schools were closed. Pupils had been out of school for so long. And schools had kind of just kind of tentatively started to kind of go back in the August. And eSchool started up the kind of the webinar program, so the evening study support webinars. And I was asked to come on board. I'm an RMPS teacher by kind of trade, qualified in RMPS. So I was asked to go along and help with the higher RMPS sessions. So kind of evening sessions to help learners who had maybe missed bits of or a lot of teaching, I suppose, in 2020, and to kind of get back into the whole way of their qualifications. So started in that way and then kind of picked up the National 5 RMPS as well a little bit later on, and then did a few other bits of work on other provisions that we had in place for learners who were isolating or who kind of weren't able to join their cohorts kind of back in school. And then once it got to the kind of the year 2021 to 2022, I then kind of moved over to the iSchool program, which is the Interrupted Learners program, which I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about as we go on. And I've been working on that program since. So it's just brilliant. It suits me really well as I've got three young children. I've got three children under six, and I think at this point in while they're so young, without eSchool, I wouldn't be able to be teaching at the moment. I would have to kind of take a break, and due to childcare and all that sort of thing, I wouldn't be able to be teaching, which I love to do. So it's great how flexible it is. It's great working from home as well. There's no commute, which is always good. But I think that the team at eSchool is so supportive that even though we are all quite far apart, we're all quite far flung, that the amount of support you get from the leadership and from the other teachers is so good that it makes the distance feel a bit smaller. We share loads of good practice. So if we find any kind of resources or applications that are really successful, we share them with each other. It feels very much like a normal school, but it's just that you've never seen some of these people in real life, which is quite bizarre, but you feel like you know them really well because that support is so good. So yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. I really, really love working for eSchool.
Charlotte, that's brilliant. And actually, for listeners, they don't know that we're recording this remotely. So I can see both Charlotte and Stephen in the screen. And what listeners won't see is how your face was just lighting up there when you were talking about how much you enjoy it, how great it is with in terms of flexibility. And I think that's a really important point. You talked about having young children, that this suits your working life right now. Stephen, I think you've got an advert when you're next recruiting for eSchool around Charlotte selling the benefits of the job. But I'd be really interested to hear from you both just around that difference that you've both talked about. So you touched there, Charlotte, around you don't meet the team face-to-face, but there are relationship building, you share resources, you don't meet the young people face-to-face, but you'll be working differently. What's different about that remote working for both of you, both in terms of leading the learning?
Relationships are really important to any school, and I think we have to be intentional in our facilitation of these relationships. You have formal and informal conversations going on in a bricks and mortar school, and we try to enable such conversations to take place in the online environment. As well as being online, our staff are in the main part-time, and they're not always around at the same time. And so a lot of the conversations and sharing that goes on within eSchool, it can happen offline. In a team, we may have particular channels for troubleshooting issues, working through challenges, sharing good practice, sharing successes, all of these kind of things. We've made a space for these things to take place. And I think we try to build in time to come together as staff informally and formally to allow for sharing and celebrating of what's been done to date. But essentially, it's similar to for me as a leader, it's similar to what I would do if I was in front of a staff, working alongside them day by day, albeit it has to perhaps be a bit more intentional to make sure that it's encouraged and it's happening and that there's space for it to happen.
Thanks, Stephen. I like your use of the word intentional, you know, recognising that there are different ways of working, and also you stressing the importance of relationships and time. Charlotte, what does that feel like from your perspective?
Yeah, I would kind of agree with all that as well. And I think if you're in a kind of a normal classroom, building relationships with your learners is so important, and getting to know them is really important. I think that's the basis for a really good learning environment, is knowing your learners really well. And we do the same at eSchool. It's just maybe it's a wee bit different because we don't often see them. So in the webinars and in iSchool, pupils don't often have their cameras on or use their microphones even. So it's very much chat-based with a lot of the learners. So you maybe don't really have a face to put with a name, which can be a challenge. So I think it's really important to kind of spend that time, you know, trying to connect with the learners, trying to kind of meet them at their level and kind of take an interest in their interests. And we do lots of that at iSchool with things like pupil passports and trying to get information from the learners, what they are interested in, their hobbies, their likes, their dislikes. And then we use that information to try and create these kind of learning conversations with the young people, kind of either if that's kind of informally at the start of a lesson or kind of trying to build it into the curriculum is always really good as well. And we have started up a few kind of extracurricular clubs just this year. So we have pet club on a Tuesday where the pupils at iSchool, that they can come along and bring their pets and their lunch, and we just have a chat about animals. There's a Dungeons and Dragons club as well. There's a music kind of club, a creative art club. And we've done activities days as well for the last, we did one in June and then we did two before Christmas, where we were off timetable and kind of ran a whole selection of different activities with the young people, from like baking sessions and photography and escape rooms and all sorts of things, all online. And the feedback was really good from the pupils, because it was, you know, I think it's those opportunities that maybe if a pupil's learning kind of solely online, they miss out on that sort of social aspect of school. And I think it's really important to all of us that we kind of build that in as much as possible at iSchool. And then I think it's through those kind of experiences that you can then build those relationships and really get to know the pupils on a really kind of really authentic level, like you would do in a normal classroom. So that's been really successful.
It sounds really successful. And we've launched straight into talking about iSchool, and I'm going to take us just back one step. And I'm also going, another heads up, I'm going to come back to talk about success stories, because there are some fabulous stories of success, both in eSchool and in iSchool. But Charlotte, can you say a wee bit more about iSchool itself and why that piece of work was taken forward?
Yeah, so the iSchool is the Interrupted Learners Programme. So all the learners who are on iSchool are referred by their kind of home school or their bricks and mortar school to eSchool because they're maybe struggling to attend their kind of bricks and mortar school. And that's kind of for a whole variety of reasons. Lots of our learners have kind of issues with their health, whether that's physical health or mental health, and they find it kind of just too challenging at the moment to attend their kind of bricks and mortar school. So we then have an online school set up where they follow a full timetable for the most part, and attend their kind of classes online. We've got a BGE. I'll let Stephen kind of give you more the kind of the details and the statistics, but a BGE in a senior phase. So we deliver SQA qualifications, and it just kind of gives them a kind of another opportunity. And I think really what it does is it kind of reframes their kind of perspective of education, because for some of them it's been quite negative in the past. So it's kind of just hoping to kind of reframe that and to kind of give them back the self-belief and the self-confidence that they can engage in education, they can engage in lessons, and they can achieve as well when they do that. So I'll pass over to Stephen for more of the official bits.
Yeah, I can
Stephen.
No, thanks. I mean, for me, iSchool is the most impactful thing. I think that it's the most rewarding thing that I've ever been involved in my whole teaching career. The beauty of being able to reach young people online is that you can reach them on their terms. And a lot of the young people who our iSchool provision support, they have particular anxiety triggers that we can remove when we're in an online environment. So they don't need to engage with their camera on. They don't need to engage with their microphone on. We can use digital tools to meet them where they are at, and they can engage with the learning from their safe space and be part of a live interactive learning community. And over time, we would look to encourage them to, you know, to come out of their shell and to, you know, to make progress. But that's how it's sold to young people. You know, we will meet you where you are at, and we will allow for you to access learning. Working in partnership with the local school to take them forward. So at the moment, we've got, I think, north of 150 young people from right across Scotland who are part of that programme. And from primary two up to S6, and you know, we've got a full curriculum with national qualifications from S4 to six, and it's been a real success. I think anecdotally, what we hear from parents and carers and schools is that it's been a real lifesaver, game changer, transforming not just the young person but the whole home dynamic. The weight off the shoulders, you know, for parents who have had a young person who's not been engaging at all, who's maybe not been coming out to their bedroom at all, not been opening the curtains at all. Seeing that young person sometimes quite quickly really make leaps and bounds forward in terms of progress has been really heartening to see. And of the 28 young people who left us last year, moving out of school, all of them went on to a positive destination. So, you know, that's what it's all about. And it's working in partnership with local schools, our guidance teacher, the local guidance teacher, those other agencies and partners who are involved in that young person's life, working together to try to equip them with the skills and the qualifications and the confidence to go out into the world and get back on track. It's something that's oversubscribed at the moment. We're very aware that our resource does not meet the need that's out there, but it's definitely something that we're keen to develop and keen to see grow. So that's just a wee bit about it.
Stephen, that's really powerful, really powerful story. And when you talk there about the difference that you're making to the lives of those young people. I was actually going to ask you about parents and feedback from parents, but you touched on that anecdotal feedback about being able to access iSchool is life-changing for lots of young people. And those stats that you shared just at the end around where young people go after that engagement, again, I'm repeating, but it's really, really powerful. If there's a parent listening to this just now thinking, this sounds exactly what my young person needs right now, how do they find out more about it? Is it through local authority, through their own school, through you directly?
Well, we've shared information on the programme with local authorities directly, but we are conscious of the need that's out there and of our own inability to meet that need as things stand at the moment. But we are operating a waiting list, and there's a page on our website, which is www.e-scot.com, that gives an overview of the provision, how it works. There's nutshell guides for parents and carers and for the young people themselves as well. Any referral to iSchool would always come from the school rather than from the home. And it's really the option after schools have tried everything else. That's when it would be considered. So typically our young people have been out of school for at least 3 months. But we've had some young people come onto our books who've been out of education for a considerably longer period of time.
Thanks, Stephen. And I was really conscious when I was asking that question that you'd said earlier, we're oversubscribed, as I was asking about marketing and finding out more information. I'm going to move us on slightly. You talked there about where young people go and leave our destinations. A big part of eSchool's work is also around study support. And we're heading towards exam time in Scottish schools. It won't be too far away. Can you tell us a wee bit more about the support that's available to support young people for studying for various qualifications.
Yeah, I'll come in there and maybe Charlotte can share a wee bit about her own experience as an actual study support teacher afterwards. We've been running study support now for maybe 3 or 4 years. It's something that's a legacy of our COVID provision. And it was there to support young people whose learning had been interrupted at that point. But it's since evolved into a kind of a wider package of study support. And we are particularly conscious that there are some young people in Scotland who have the means and the wherewithal to pay for private tuition. There are other young people who may have after-school study support running in their schools. And there are, of course, other young people who either can't afford it or maybe have to catch the school bus home and do not aren't in a position to stay behind after school. So our study support programme, it runs at either 5, 6 or 7 o'clock at night from Monday to Thursday throughout the year. And there are in excess of 60 webinars running from NAT 4 through to advanced higher level across a full range of curricular subjects. And the idea is that each of these runs once a week, and there's an opportunity for young people to be part of that community. Currently, we've got almost 5,000 young people who are part of that provision for this session from 320 different schools. And we run, as you say, Gillian, an Easter study support focus as well, where we have daytime webinars running. And this year, that will be between the 2nd and 11th of April. So it's an opportunity for young people to consolidate their learning. It's there to complement what schools and local authorities are offering. And it's an opportunity for young people to support one another as well. And that's one of the most gratifying things to see. You know, in the team, you might have some young people, especially in the weeks running up to the exam, saying, "Help, I can't remember how to do X, Y, Z." And then before the teachers have an opportunity to respond, other young people from across the country are diving in and saying, you know, "Try this, try that, this is what you do." So it's a community, a supportive community. Again, we receive, you know, anecdotal feedback saying that it's really made a difference to individual young people from themselves and also from their parents and carers.
Thanks, Stephen. And you talked there about relationships again, you know, young people working with each other. But you also talked again about, you see this, a key role here, about removing barriers. And again, that feels in our conversation a really strong message about the purpose and the role of eSchool in terms of that equity and removing barriers. Charlotte, is that how it feels working with the young people in terms of study support and exams, that you are removing barriers and providing access to, for support that young people might not otherwise have had?
Absolutely. I think it's a great provision, like Stephen said, because it's available to all learners across Scotland. So it really kind of levels the playing field in that way, that, you know, pupils can sign up. It's completely free. They can come along and they can kind of get a service, I suppose, that really does, I think Stephen mentioned this, but it really does complement what teachers are doing in schools. And I think having taught like a higher course in a kind of bricks and mortar school myself and done the study support, you know yourself as a teacher that when you teach a full course, it's so hard to get all the content done, all the skills done, all the practice that you want to do. And I think one of the real benefits of the study support sessions is that it gives a little bit of extra time to work on skills, for pupils to practice. When, you know, you are so tight for time in a classroom, the study support can really just kind of add to that, and they can work really well in partnership, I think. And I think by kind of, you know, having the pupil support community that we have on the webinar teams, there's usually a help and support channel that pupils can access day or night. You know, if they want to look up their higher RMPS world religions topic at 3 o'clock in the morning, they can do that on the team, and they can probably find someone else who's doing it at the same time and get that support. So it removes the barriers in that way, I think, that pupils can access it in their own space at their own time. They maybe would feel a little bit kind of more comfortable asking a question on a team where they've got lots of peers who are asking similar questions too than they maybe would in a classroom. So it just gives them another opportunity to kind of seek support and seek help that kind of complements and goes along what they'll have in their school. So I think it definitely kind of, you know, takes away barriers in that sense for young people.
And in Scotland, we're sometimes not very good at sharing our success stories and, for want of a better phrase, blowing our own trumpet. But I've got some stats about eSchool that I thought I would share today. Looking back in 2023, 19,000 webinar registrations for the evening study support, 45,000 learner attendances at DYW live sessions, 16,100 webinar registrations for Easter study support. I could go on, but these are amazing stats. And, you know, this conversation today reminds me of the amazing work that you're doing. If I had to pin you both down for what's the biggest success of this work so far, what would you say?
If I go back to iSchool, our provision for interrupted learners, I think success is all relative. And I'm thinking of one parent coming to us who had seen their child engage with learning by just putting a thumbs up on another comment that somebody had put into the chat. And that for her was such a success and such a sign of progress that something so incidental and meaningless in most online lessons for that parent was huge. And I'm also thinking of another one of our iSchool learners who joined us late in session, worked really hard, achieved a number of national qualifications, and went on to university, having gained what she needed to get access to an access course, and she sustained that. So that's somebody who could have just been left, and you know, it's these young people are the easiest to ignore, easiest to forget, and most difficult to reach, and I think with a bit of, you know, using all the existing means that we have, you know, in 2024, to reach young people like that, I think it's really the value. Although there's a cost to the work, the value of the work is far in excess of that cost. So I don't know if that answers the question. That's just two examples that come to mind.
I think that maybe more Charlotte's than answers the question, Stephen. Just two fabulous examples. Charlotte, do you want to add to those?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is so true. And I suppose it does sound a little bit cheesy, but I think it is those small moments that make such a huge difference. And it's quite bizarre sometimes how an email can come into your inbox from a young person who's, you know, never submitted anything before, and it genuinely makes your day. You know, you see that learner's name and you think, oh, they've emailed me, oh, and you know, and you're just delighted that this young person has, you know, been in class. And I think because you don't see that the young people in iSchool, because they don't have their cameras on, you're not sure kind of how much they're understanding, how engaged they are sometimes. So we do a lot of work in trying to kind of gauge engagement. So when you do get a piece of work back and you think, oh, you know, you've got through to them, they've understood, they've managed to complete the work, it's just great. And today, actually, I mentioned Pet Club earlier. We do Pet Club on a Tuesday, and a learner came along to Pet Club today and put her microphone on for the very first time. So I heard her voice for the very first time. What a brilliant moment to kind of hear what she sounds like. And I was trying really hard not to react too much on the camera and not kind of scare her off. But it was just lovely to kind of hear a learner that you've kind of seen attend classes and kind of slowly but surely build up in terms of engagement, get to the point where they've been really, really brave enough, you know, to kind of turn that microphone on and speak. And, you know, I know how much of a big deal that would be for that young person. And it's those things, I think, that are, they're the biggest success stories. Like Stephen said, I think it's, you know, from in their perspective, that was an incredible barrier that she overcame today. And it's lovely to be like a small part of that and, you know, to hopefully, you know, share a little bit in how proud she hopefully feels in herself for having the courage to do that today. And if she does it again tomorrow, then that's brilliant. If she doesn't, that's okay as well. You know, we meet the learners where they are. So every day is different. They're all going through their own journey. And we don't put pressure on the young people to kind of, you know, to do anything they don't want to do. So whenever they do feel brave enough to do something like that, it's a lovely moment for everybody. So yeah, those are the ones that you remember, I think, and that really stick with you.
These are great stories. And you're both fabulous advocates for this work. I'm going to ask you about recruitment in a second, but I'm reflecting on one of my first questions, which was about, you don't meet directly with the team, with learners. What's different about that? And I'm really struck that when I asked you both that question, what you both spoke about was that direct feedback from individual young people and the power of that direct feedback in that difference that you're making. I said you were both fabulous advocates for this work. I asked earlier about parents and young people accessing eSchool. What if I'm a teacher wanting to come and work with eSchool? How do I find out about job opportunities that might become available?
Well, we're currently recruiting.
I didn't know that before I asked that question, Stephen.
No, we are. So we're always looking to add to our bank of supply staff. We have an advert on MyJob Scotland for eSchool supply teachers for all secondary subjects, and we're looking for Gaelic medium primary at the moment as well. So any of the listeners who are minded to apply, you can see the advert there, and you can get a bit more information about who we are, what we do, on the MyJob Scotland website, and also on our own website. Or you can just get in touch with the main eSchool office account, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that people might have about what working for eSchool could involve. So the answer to that question, it can take many forms, but we don't know what's ahead of us. But there are always going to be barriers, and eSchool are here to try to be part of the solution to overcoming these barriers.
Brilliant, Stephen. And I laughed there because I didn't know you were recruiting right now. That sounded like a planted question. But genuinely, this conversation this afternoon, I hope that you get a whole number of expressions of interest from teachers who want to be part of this journey and to contribute to the learning of young people that you've both spoken about this afternoon. We're going to run out of time, so I'm going to finish up by saying thank you to you both very much. I've forgotten as we were chatting that we were being recorded. I've really enjoyed hearing the passion, the energy and the commitment from both of you about this work and about that impact that you've both talked about constantly to the lives of young people. So thank you both for joining me today, and thank you to those who've been listening for tuning in. If you've enjoyed our podcast, hit the follow button for a notification when a new episode is published, and keep an eye out on our social media pages, including our New Education Scotland Instagram account and LinkedIn, for news on the latest episodes. Stephen, Charlotte, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.